Hi, my name is Steve Warren, and I want to welcome you to this podcast. I'm believing today you'll be filled with faith, you'll be energized by hope, and you'll feel loved as this message seeks to transform and empower your life. God bless you as you listen to this.
Let's give Edwin a round of applause as well. Pastor Steve and Lisby, they're currently preaching in our other locations. So that gives an opportunity for me to preach. Like Jamie said, we're going back into the Unsung Heroes. And it's interesting because Unsung Heroes, you know, we're going to talk about the Apostle Paul today. And you might be like, well, Peter, I'm not really sure if you read the Bible, but because he written the one third of the New Testament, so I'm not sure if he's an unsung hero. Well, I think the Apostle Paul, he says that he's the least of all the apostles. There was no apostle who basically persecuted and put people to death because of Christianity, except for Paul. Vervolgde. Man, it's nice to be the preacher and also be the translator sometimes.
Yeah. You can do it all.
But I would like to go together with you through the journey of Paul.
And ik wil samen met jullie gaan kijken naar de reis van Paulus.
And also specifically a little bit about his context.
Maar ook heel specifiek de context.
But then we will be going into a very practical mode. I was talking with my brother yesterday, and you know, he's not really steady going into church. But the one thing he gets out of church is when the church gets really practical on practical theology. It's great to listen to a fantastic theological message, but if you're not able to apply it in your life, then what is the strength of it? So in the coming few weeks, we'll be looking at self-leadership. And I love it. Because I can recite a number of people in our church who do that so well that they actually thrive in life. But let's look at the life of Paul. The interesting thing about the life of Paul is that he always had a purpose in his life. If you don't know who the Apostle Paul is, well, he basically had a life with a very clear twilight in between.
And as you zijn leven niet van Paulus niet goed kent, zelfs een man die een omslagmoment.
Two very clear places in his life where he was, and then God came into the middle, and then he changed his world. Let me just read from Acts chapter 9, verse 1 to 6. Just to explain a little bit on what Paul has been, what God has been up to in his life. Paul being Paul, which is his Greek name, but Saul is his Hebrew name. Yeah, so verse 9. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for the letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, which is the Christian believers at the time, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him, and falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. Saul, or Paul, he was a Pharisee. He was brought up in the city of Tarsus. And the city of Tarsus, maybe 50 or 70 years before Paul was born. There were some specific things that happened in Tarsus where the Roman Empire was like, well, you did such a great job, I'm going to give you the Roman citizenship for anybody who lives in Tarsus. And the Jews were, they were dispersed over, basically all the parts of the world.
And the Joden waren verspreid over heel veel delen.
And Tarsus was part of Turkey.
And Tarsus was onderdeel van Turkije.
And there was a great community of Greek Jews there.
En er was een grote gemeenschap van Joden.
And Paul was part of that.
And Paulus was daar onderdeel van.
But Tarsus was also known for, let's say, a major university on philosophy. So Paul, he didn't necessarily knew all of that because at a young age he went to Jerusalem. But there are some things in his world that actually, from a philosophical point of view, he did understand what the philosophical mindsets were of the day. So he went to Jerusalem and there he went under study of Gamaliel. And that person was actually one of the highest teachers of the Jewish law at the time.
And that was een van de grootste leraren van die tijd.
So Paul, he was actually an elite student at an elite university, and he was one of the, yeah, the most profound Pharisee that you could be.
Paulus was dus een student op deze universiteit.
He was somebody from the Benjamite family. And King Saul, he was a Benjamite.
And Koning Saul was ook een Benjamite.
And so it was actually with great pride that Saul was actually being a Pharisee, being somebody from the people of Israel.
And dus hij was heel trots dat hij onderdeel was van deze mensen van Israël.
His purpose was to be a zealot.
En zijn doel was om een zealot te worden.
To be sure that what he was what he should be teaching would make that that the people of Israel would not sin.
And hij wilde ervoor zorgen dat de mensen van Israël niet in de zonde zouden komen.
So he saw that the Christians were preaching a gospel that was not aligned with what the law said.
En hij zag dat de christenen iets predikten wat niet in lijn was met de wet.
So he was zealous. Like we just read, he went for the Christians and he picked them up and he killed them and he put them into prison. A very clear purpose. But God changed the purpose of his life. And if we read further in verse 10, it says this. It says, now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard so many things about this man, how evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And he has authority from the chief priests to bind all of them who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, brother Saul, the Lord who has appeared to you on the road by which you came has sent me so that you might regain sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. God changed his world.
God veranderde zijn wereld.
And he put a very clear purpose in his world to do what?
En hij gaf hem een heel duidelijk levensdoel om wat te doen.
To not persecute the Christians. But actually to bring the gospel to the Gentiles.
Maar om het evangelie te brengen.
And that's immediately what he did.
And that is what he meteen deed.
In verse 20, and you can read, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying he is the Son of God. And then when he was creating a riot in that place.
En toen hij een riot.
Ja, een opstand.
Een opstand
Then he was sent to Jerusalem.
Werd hij naar Jeruzalem gestuurd.
And then when he was in Jerusalem, he was preaching bold in the name of the Lord, and he spoke and disputed against the Hellenists, which are the Greek Jews. But then again, they sought to kill him. So Paul goes to Jerusalem, and he does exactly what the Lord is telling him, and then what happens is that, well, you know, he almost gets killed again. So the apostles, who were as wise as they were, they said, well, you know what? Let's bring him to Caesarea and let's send him back to Tarsus. And then in verse 31 it says, after he was brought to Tarsus, so the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. It's pretty interesting that Paul was so zealous for the purpose of God. That he went for it. He gave it everything. And then he was sent away. I'll get back to that in a moment. Maybe we can put the picture of the ship on the screen. Yeah, let me just stand on the side. I'm not sure who these five guys are. Eugenia actually took this picture quite a while ago. She's part of the visual arts team. Yeah. And if you feel like I want to be part of the photography team, then, you know, make pictures like this, then go to Eugenia. Maybe you can just wave, Eugenia. Eugenia, can you just give a wave? Yeah. The ship is probably about 75 to maybe 80 meters, something like that. And I don't want to get your attention on these five guys because I don't know them. I want to let you focus on the rudder. The rudder is a very small item on the total ship. And what I want to do in the next few minutes is that I will be looking at the rudder being the purpose of your life. With the purpose of your life. God has given us free will. And Paul, in all his being zealous, that is where he chose in the first part of his life to do what he felt God was calling him to do. God then brought a revelation in this world. And the revelation was, God, Paul, this is not the right way in how to do it. God changed the purpose of his world. And he written one third of the New Testament. And he's written for your life. I want to talk about your purpose. I want to talk about your life being a boat. Because you're going somewhere. But if you don't have a rudder, if you don't have systems in place, if you don't have people like a crew in your life, then the boat is going to be an empty shell. And if you would put a boat like an empty shell somewhere in the sea, and there is no rudder there, it will just disappear. Or it will basically get shipwrecked. And maybe in your life you've experienced that from time to time. And you're like, yeah, I didn't have any vision for my life. I didn't have a purpose in my life. So I just wandered. Or maybe you're sitting here and you say, well, I still don't have a purpose in my life. Then this message is for you. Because every person that's sitting in this auditorium at C3 Imagine Zuidoost location, I'm so excited for your life. Because God has a purpose for you. And on the other side of your purpose is not just only your dream, but it's actually the salvation of people in your world. It's actually the God-given call that you have on your life that He wants you to fulfill. What we say in church is that every person transformed in Christ, empowered for purpose. And that you're empowered for a purpose. That's you. And you might be saying, well, who am I? Well, you're a person like Paul. And God has given us free will to make sure that when we do something, that we do it out of a love for Him, with a cheerful heart, and actually able to enjoy all the things that God has for us. Well, let's look into the systems. In order for a boat to really, do a thing that the boat does. And I've never been on a cruise ship, actually, or maybe I have, but maybe for not longer than a day. There are a lot of things that you can do on a boat, obviously. But I just want to be focusing on the journey where we're going. Maybe we can put up the picture of where Paul has been. Thank you. So you see four clear lines. Four different colors. And you can understand a little bit why I took the analogy of a boat, because a lot of where Paul has been, it's been on a boat. Actually, without there being a boat, I would probably have not been here. My forebears, they took the boat from Amsterdam to South Africa, and a couple of family members, they stepped out in South Africa. So I see a couple of South Africans here in front. Yeah, exactly. So if you see Jacobs with SZ, that's my family, actually. But let's say the people who really persevered, they went to Indonesia. That's where I'm coming from. Anyway, you understand why I'm taking the analogy of the boat. But you see that Paul has been going through a lot of places. And what I love about purpose is that you need to be intentful when you have a purpose and you want to drive towards your purpose in life. And when you have a boat, there are a lot of systems in place that we need to be bringing in place in our lives in order for the boat to go somewhere. And Paul did all these trips. Just look at all these places where he's been. And you recognize that a lot of these places where he's been, he's actually written letters to. So you see here, for example, in the middle, with the yellow line, Corinth. But you see also Philippi, the Philippians. And so you see a number of places where he's gone. But it's important for us to understand that this was not just something that he did. There was a lot of planning involved. There was a lot of finances involved. And if we look at self-leadership, if you want to be a successful person, you need to make sure that your planning is right. We need to have a planning. At one hand, I dread planning because, it takes a lot of time. And can I do the things that I'm supposed to be doing? But on the other hand, I love planning because if I plan out, then I know that I'm going to get things done. So one of the things that I do, I don't want to live my life being a fireman in my life. Is that you always attend that thing that's urgent and that's super important. I mean, if you're a manager or let's say taking care of your household, I mean, you who recognizes that sense of, you know, you're the fireman. Yeah, I see some hands. I see some very exhausted hands, actually. And like, you know, every time there is something that comes on your way, and then you're like, oh, do I have to attend that? Do I have to do this? Do I have to? So my encouragement is actually to bring it from the urgent and to the utmost importance to something that's important but not so urgent anymore. To look at your life and realize what are the most important building blocks in my world. Monique and I, we got married when we were 20 and 21. But I made a very conscious choice. I was doing my bachelor in business economics. But I felt like in my relationship with Monique, there is a sort of fleshly tension that I felt like, yeah, this is dangerous. I had an intense desire. So I had to be realistic with myself. And so what is the most important thing? Well, my walk in Christ, so I'd better marry her. So I stopped my studies. We both went working and we were able to buy a house back then. And later on, I picked up my study again. Because I realized what is important for me is to make sure that the finances in the household are going to be on the level that I want it to be. So I look at my schedule and I took time like between 15 and 20 hours per week where I was doing that. I know a lot of you. And I know a lot of you are better planners than I am. But for some of you, that if you're not planning, I want to encourage you to plan out your life. And especially if you're in the age of 15 to 25. Have the end goal in mind. Where do you want to go today? And I say specifically 15 to 25, and then, you know, you're old, and then you're like, oh, you know, I don't have to plan anymore. That's not true. Because God has a call for your life. And I'm really proud of, let's say, the 55 plus people here in this congregation. Yes, because they're very, very diligent in organizing parties for those who are 55 plus. I think I've been in parties like 2 or 3 parties in the last month only. Because people had their birthday parties and so on. You know, party is fun. But it's actually very deliberate. Because when you organize a party, there's going to be a testimony. But I want to ask, I want to put on your heart, plan. Monique and I, we were going into Vision Builders and, you know, we are also very aware on inflation. No doubt about that. So when we were thinking about what are we able to give for Vision Builders, we felt like, yeah, well, we're a little bit stuck because, you know, inflation is going up and groceries are a lot of money. And I cannot blame Hosea for all of that. You know, he's like a young man. He goes to the gym. He's like buffed, you know, so he eats a lot. Cannot blame him. I cannot blame him all for that. So Monique and I, we were going through our finances, and you know, I have a management accounting background, so I love finances, but I hate them at the same time. Because the thing is this, is that I'm constantly being challenged in my life about the financial situation. Was it not that I planned that I'm able to actually manage my life in a way that I feel really comfortable in what it is that we're doing? And what Monique and I will be doing is, or at least I will be looking at how I can spend a little bit of time on creating an additional type of income in my world. But the only way in how I can do it is through planning. And if you want to be a leader in your life, then you need to make sure that your finances are in order. You cannot be a leader with integrity if you're not making sure that your personal finances are in order. It's dangerous. So I want to put in your heart, you know, be wise with your finances. And there are a lot of people in our church that you can go to if you need financial help or financial advice in that sense. But I see that God is blessing people who have their personal finances in order, and then they thrive in all the rest of their life as well. And the last thing that I want to talk about is communication. Is that I know that, you know, when you get 100 WhatsApps in your WhatsApp, then you're like, man, I feel overwhelmed. How am I going to respond to all these people? What I see around me happening is that the guys who are on the communication, that really respond quickly, in emails, that these are the guys that people can build on. And you might be saying, well, Peter, I'm not sure how that really helps me. But think about it. How many WhatsApps have you not responded to right now? This is not the moment where I will ask to raise hands, you know. That's not fair, right? But I want to tell you that communication is super important. And if you're a young person here and you feel like, oh, you know, WhatsApp is overrated, I'm not going to respond on things, that's the wrong thing to do. If you have too many WhatsApps, just step out of WhatsApp groups and just, you know, condense it to things that are really important for your world. Blame it on me if people start to complain. No, but organize your life. And this is all very, let's say, very practical on what it is that you can be doing. But the thing why I tap into these things is that God is a great God. And He wants to bestow His blessing on you. He wants to use you. He has a calling for you. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 speaks about that God has plans for you that will prosper you. And that sense of prospering will only be happening if you organize your life. That will only come when you organize your life.
Het komt alleen als je leven op orde is.
So many people here in this place, they're called.
Er zijn heel veel mensen hier in deze plek
God
die geroepen
is calling
zijn.
You to build His kingdom.
God roept je op om zijn koninkrijk
But
te bouwen.
But if you don't organize your life, you will never be able to fulfill that.
Maar als je je leven niet op orde hebt, dan kun je er niet aan voldoen.
When I speak with C3 Imagine Bible students, I tell them, how are you going to make time so that you give God the freedom to work in your world?
Weet je, als ik de C3 Imagine Bible College mensen spreek, dan vraag ik ze, weet je, hoe organiseer je je leven zodat God in je leven kan spreken?
God wants to use you.
God wil je gebruiken.
But you need to create time in order for God to be using you.
Maar je moet tijd apart zetten zodat God je kan gebruiken.
So I would like to ask you to close your eyes.
Ik wil je nu vragen om je ogen te sluiten.
Because there is a heart appeal in this.
Want er is een iets in het hart voor je.
I want to. This is an appeal to your heart.
Dit is een vraag voor jouw hart.
If you say, well, I need to make more time for God.
Als jij iets hebt, ik moet meer tijd maken voor God.
So that He can fulfill the purpose in my life.
Zodat Hij mijn levensdoel kan vervullen.
Then I want to use this moment to ask you to stand up, actually.
Dan wil ik je vragen op dit moment om op te staan.
That you say, well, I will organize my life.
Dat je zegt van ik organiseer mijn leven.
I will push for a better me.
Ik druk door voor een beter ik.
I want to pray for you.
Ik wil graag voor je bidden.
So if that's you, please stand up.
Dus als jij dat bent, sta dan op.
So that I can ask God to lead you.
Zodat we God kunnen vragen om jou te leiden.
You will need to activate the steps in your world, but God will lead you.
Weet je, jij moet de stappen nemen, maar God zal je leiden.
If you feel the burden on your heart for ministry, but you don't know how you're going to make time for it, then stand up.
Weet je, als jij het op je leven voelt branden dat je de bediening in wil. Maar je ziet niet hoe, sta dan op.
Because God is going to make a way for you.
Want God zal een weg banen voor je.
Father, I thank you for all these people who are standing here.
Vader, ik dank u voor al die mensen die opstaan.
That the life that you've called us to live is something amazing.
Dat het leven wat u ons toegeroepen heeft geweldig is.
It's for the young and it's for the old.
Het is voor de jongeren en voor de ouderen.
It's for the experienced and for the non-experienced.
Voor de ervaren en de minder ervaren.
God, the boat of our life.
Vader, de boot van ons leven.
It's going to so many places.
Gaat naar zoveel plekken toe.
And God, I pray for all these people who are standing up right now.
En God, ik bid voor al deze mensen die opstaan.
That you would bring that sense of freedom into the world.
Dat u ze vrijheid brengt in hun leven.
I pray right now that you bring clarity into their mind.
Dat u duidelijkheid brengt in hun gedachten.
Like Paul.
Net zoals Paulus.
To be prepared for ministry.
Om klaar te zijn voor bediening.
To be prepared to let the life that you've called them to live.
Om klaar te zijn voor het leven dat ze moeten leiden.
To happen.
Dat het gaat gebeuren.
In Jesus' name.
In Jezus' naam.
A new sense of empowerment.
Een nieuwe kracht.
A new sense of commission.
Een nieuwe gevoel van doel.
In Jesus' name.
In Jezus' naam.
Amen. Amen. Every Sunday we want to take a moment where we want to invite people who are new to faith or maybe not even Christians at all.
En elke zondag hebben we een moment waar we mensen willen uitnodigen die nog geen christen zijn.
Every ship needs a captain.
Weet je, elke boot heeft een kapitein nodig.
And the thing that we realize as Christians is that yes, we might be, you know, on the steering wheel.
En het wat we misschien ervaren als christen dat we aan het stuur staan.
But we've decided to let somebody be the person who's actually going to lead us into the place where we need to be going.
Maar dat er iemand anders in ons leven is die ons naar een weg leidt.
It's a place of salvation.
Weet je, een plaats van redding.
It's a place of strength.
Een plaats van kracht.
It's a place of doing things together.
Een plaats van dingen samen doen.
But it takes a decision to let Jesus into your world.
Maar je moet het besluit nemen om Jezus uit te nodigen in je leven.
And that's this moment.
En dat is dit moment.
I want to invite you on a life together with Jesus.
En ik wil je uitnodigen met een leven samen met Jezus.
I want to ask you to invite Jesus into your boat.
Ik wil je vragen om Jezus uit te nodigen in je boot.
And not just to save you.
Niet alleen om je te redden.
Not just so that you can get to go to heaven.
Niet alleen zodat je naar de hemel gaat.
But actually so that you can live the life that God has purposed for you to live.
Maar dat je een leven gaat leiden met een doel wat God voor je heeft.
So in a moment I'm going to ask you all if that's you.
En ik ga jullie zo meteen vragen of jij dat bent.
If you say, well, you know, I want to let Jesus in my boat for the very first time.
Weet je, misschien ben jij het die zegt, ik wil Jezus voor het eerst uitnodigen in mijn boot.
I want to see Jesus move in my world.
Ik wil Jezus zien bewegen in mijn leven.
I want to live a life full of destiny together with Jesus.
Ik wil een leven leiden met Jezus, met een doel, een levensdoel.
I want to invite you on a journey.
En dan wil ik je graag uitnodigen op een reis.
But just to know for who I'm praying.
Maar zodat ik weet voor wie ik bid.
Just to know that it is you that I'm going to pray for.
Zodat ik weet voor wie ik bid.
I want to ask you in a moment to raise your hand.
Wil ik je vragen zo meteen om even je hand op te steken.
So let's all close our eyes.
Dus laten we allemaal onze ogen sluiten.
If that is you.
Als jij dat bent.
If you say, well, Peter, I want to give my life to Jesus.
Als jij de persoon bent die zegt, Peter, Ik wil mijn leven aan Jezus geven.
I want to see Jesus as my captain in my life.
Ik wil Jezus zien als de kapitein in mijn leven.
I want to live a life journeying together with Christ.
Ik wil een leven leiden samen met Christus.
Raise your hand.
Steek dan nu je hand op.
Thank you, I see your hand.
Dankjewel, ik zie je hand.
Thank you, I see your hand.
Ik zie je hand. Dankjewel.
Thank you, Jesus.
Dankjewel, Jezus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Dank u, Jezus.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Dank u, Heer.
Thank you, God.
Dank u, God.
Just want to wait one more minute.
Ik wil nog 1 minuut wachten.
If you feel that you're lost from Jesus.
Als jij het gevoel hebt dat je weggegaan bent van Jezus.
If you feel far away.
Misschien voel je je heel ver weg.
This is your moment to get back with him.
Dit is jouw moment om terug te komen bij hem.
So if that's you, raise your hand, please.
En als jij dat bent, steek dan ook nu je hand op.
God wants to come into your boat.
God wil in jouw boot komen.
Let me pray for you for a moment.
Laat me voor je bidden.
And then I will ask you to pray a line after me.
En dan zal ik je vragen om een lijn van gebed achter na mij te bidden.
Let me pray first.
Laat me eerst bidden.
Father, I thank you for all these people who just raised their hand. I ask of you, God, that you would touch these people who just raised their hand in salvation toward you. That they say, well, God, I want you to be my captain. I want you to be in my boat. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would bless these people. God, whether it's a renewed decision, whether it's a decision for the very first time, Holy Spirit, I pray, bless them. Speak to them. Awaken them. And bring them on your path, in Jesus' name. As a sign of your confession that you want to have Jesus in your world, I would like to pray a prayer together with you.
Als een teken waarbij je zegt van ik wil Jezus uitnodigen in mijn leven, wil ik graag samen met je bidden.
And actually, I want to invite all of us to pray together in support for those who just raised their hand.
En ik wil graag iedereen uitnodigen om samen mee te bidden.
So it goes like this, dear God.
Lieve God.
Thank you for your Son Jesus.
Dank u voor uw Zoon Jezus.
Thank you that you died for me.
Dank u dat u voor mij gestorven bent.
I ask of you to forgive me.
Vraag voor uw vergeving.
I turn away from my past.
Ik laat mijn oude leven achter.
I ask of you.
Ik vraag u.
To make my life new.
Om mijn leven te vernieuwen.
Come Holy Spirit.
Kom Heilige Geest.
Fill my life.
Vul mijn leven.
Come Holy Spirit.
Kom Heilige Geest.
Make my life new.
Geef me een nieuw leven.
In Jesus' name.
In Jezus naam.
Amen. 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 God, I thank you for this wonderful church location and all the people who are here. God, I pray that the sense of purpose, the rudder of our life, God, that we will pick it up in Jesus' name. A new sense of life, a new sense of hope, a new sense of peace in what it is that we do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Fantastic. Well, church, let's stand up. We're going to sing one more song.
Okay, laten we gaan staan. We gaan nog één aanbiddingslied samen zingen.
My Whole World.
Well, thank you for listening today. I want to take a few more moments of your time. Because it may be today you realize that you need to get your relationship right with Jesus Christ. Maybe you've never asked him into your life before. Or maybe for some reason you've been moving away from him, and today I want to invite you to come back to him. Or it may be that you're just not sure you're going to heaven. And so I want to lead you in a prayer right now, and I would really love for you to say this prayer with me. And then straight after this prayer, I would love you to do something for me. But hey, let's pray right now. Dear God, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that he died for me. I ask that you would forgive me. I turn away from my past and I give you my life. Come and live in me. I thank you that today I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you prayed that prayer today, the Holy Spirit has done something in your life. And so I want you to tell us about it. I want you to email info@c3amsterdam.nl and let us know you've made this decision, and let us have your address, because I'd love to send you a book that will help you make this decision really strong and become a follower of Jesus. And we'll also be able to help you get planted in a church near you. God bless you.